welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Door of Life broadcast. We're so glad you've tuned in this morning. And as always, we're just excited to gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know His presence is in our midst in a special way, even as we gather in this cyber way this morning. And we're just trusting that you're going to hear from God, that His Spirit's going to speak to your heart. My name is Pastor Ed House. And Door of Life is a Bible-believing church. What do we mean by that? We believe that the Word of God has the authority of God Himself, that God speaks to us and still speaks to us through His written Word and also by His Holy Spirit. And so as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just believe that God is going to speak a special word to you today. Well, let's go before the throne of grace and ask His blessing over our time. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for this day that You have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank You, Lord, for just the sameness, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're a rock that is higher than I. No variableness, not even a shadow of turning in You, Lord. You're stable, You're secure, You're a good shepherd. And because You are who You are, we can trust You. We can lie down in Your green pastures, look out across those still waters again this morning, and just listen for the voice of Your Spirit. Listen for the voice of Your Word, knowing that You're restoring our soul. You're putting us back together. And we just open our hearts wide to be taught by You, precious Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth this morning. We thank You so much for this precious time. We just commit it to You now, Lord Jesus, and pray that You're glorified in everything we say and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and delve right into the Word. So we're going to start out here in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I love this in the Amplified, verse 10. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise God. That's so well put. And, you know, Jesus is distinguishing between Himself and the thief. And I've heard it put this way: that which steals, that which kills, that which destroys is not Jesus. He didn't come for that purpose. He was not His mystical purpose to destroy your life. He came that you would have life and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. So Jesus came to give us life, this life to enjoy. And I think sometimes as we're down here, we're living for God, we're doing what we know to do, we're fighting the good fight of faith, putting on the armor of God, dealing with the flesh, the world, and the devil. A lot of times it's easy to kind of get in a battle mode and kind of get caught up in a lot of the warfare side of this life. And there is a warfare side, no doubt about it. But there's a component in the middle of the harshest warfare that we're going through down here that we have to keep in mind. And that is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can never let go of that joy. The joy that puts a smile on our face and a spiritual strength in our heart that gives us the ability to have the courage to stand up and do what we need to do. There's a song written by Tommy Walker years ago that was something that has just stuck in my heart. It's called "Morning Into Dancing." It goes, "Where there once was only hurt, He gave His healing hand. Where there once was only pain, He brought comfort like a friend. I feel the sweetness of His love piercing my darkness. I see the bright and morning sun as it ushers in His joyful gladness. He's turned my morning into dancing again. He's lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I must sing, for His joy has come. His anger lasts but for a moment in time, but his favor is here and will be on me for all my lifetime. He's turned my mourning into dancing again. He's lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I must sing, for his joy has come. And I can't tell you just the various times in my Christian walk where I'm going through stuff. I'm going through that dark place. Maybe not always a dark place. Sometimes you're just enjoying and counting the blessings of the Lord. But there is a common denominator of the joy of the Lord that we need to draw on, that we need to just kind of, in a sense, simplify our lives again and just, hey, Jesus came for me to enjoy this life down here. Yeah, I'm going to have battles. I'm going to have the flesh, the world, the devil. I'm going to have stuff that I'm going through, but there is nothing that I'm going through that does not contain and should involve the joy of the Lord in my life. Which brings us to the title of our message today, which is Choosing to Enjoy Your Life. Choosing to enjoy your life. I'll tell you, there is something empowering when you're in the dark place on the outside, but the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining in your heart on the inside, and you fear not, because there is a joy, there is a confident expectation in the Lord, where your trust is in the Lord, and you know your trust is in the Lord. It's a wonderful, powerful place where there is faith, where there is that faith in God and the joy of the Lord in your heart. And that's really my heart this morning for this message, is for each of us to be strengthened, refreshed, maybe reset back to this simple reality that I can just choose to enjoy my life. You know, Joyce Meyer has a great title for her program. It's called Enjoying Everyday Life. Well put. Realizing that no matter where we're at, we can enjoy our life and make a choice. I'm not just going to get through. I'm not just going to win the battle and get to the other side. I'm going to choose to enjoy my life. So the first aspect of choosing to enjoy your life is the fact that joy is now. When you're choosing to enjoy your life, it's important to realize that joy is now. Kind of like faith is now, joy is now. Hope is future. Hope is something you're expecting, you're looking forward to, something that's going to happen down the road, as things work out, as things line up. That's future hope. But there are things that are now in God. Faith is now. Joy is now. Let's take a look at a couple scriptures along these lines. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Now, just a little side note about 1 Thessalonians 5:16. A lot of us know the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Well, here's the second shortest verse in the Bible, and it's rejoice always, okay? I've such a short verse. I took the liberty of providing it in a few different translations here. New King James, rejoice always. New Living Translation, always be joyful. The Passion, let joy be your continual feast. The Message, be cheerful no matter what. And the Amplified, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually always. Wow, that's the second shortest verse in the Bible. Kind of makes you wonder what the longest Amplified verse in the Bible is. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 gives us that admonition to rejoice always. Praise God. In other words, it's literally a command. We should just be joyful. It should be a continual feast no matter what. You know, it's an admonition to be joyful. That's one of the greatest witnesses that there is to this world. You know, it's not your political anger that wins them. There's a joy of the Lord that's your strength. There's a joy of the Lord that comes from the Lord, that comes through you. In fact, it's your calmness. It's a demeanor. While other men's hearts are failing them for fear of things coming on the earth, you have a joy. You have a peace. There's something about that. It sustains you, and it's a powerful witness on your behalf. So joy is now. Joy is something that the Lord commands us through his word to be. All right? Here's one more scripture along those lines. This is the Apostle Peter. He said, you know, regarding persecution, in the middle of the persecution that they were going through, he admonishes the believers. He says, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Wow. And this is, again, during the heart of their persecution. People are getting killed. This is Nero times, all right? But yet there's a joy, inexpressible, that's full of glory. We're rejoicing. How can we do that? Because there is a joy of the Lord. There is a joy of the Lord that is our strength. And again, this isn't something that we're waiting to line up. You know, the old joke about three preachers, I think it is, at Bernie's Cafe, debating, you know, when life begins. And one of them says, well, when a baby takes his first breath. And the other one says, no, the child's life begins at conception. And the third preacher says, no, life begins when the last child is out of the house and the dog dies. Okay, so that's a joke. And basically, it's basically saying that you're looking forward to something. You're looking forward to this event when everything lines up. You know, that's when life, that's when I can be joyful, when I can enjoy life. You know, and so many times we in subtle ways do that. We'll play games in our own head. You know, when I get that nice house, when I finally get out of debt, when I get this relationship issue figured out, okay? When I get married, when I get divorced, everything's going to be all better again and I'm going to really enjoy life. Or when the last kid leaves and the dog dies, whatever that is, some future expectation of things needing to line up so that you can enjoy your life finally. And what happens is we're waiting for things to just line up. Life is passing us by and the years are passing by. And we never quite get to where we can just relax this day, right now, today, and enjoy life today. You know, if I was to have one midlife crisis wish, it would be this: Lord, let me know how to fully enjoy each new day. The art of enjoying one day at a time. Nothing quite like that. Each of our days on this earth can be measured with an X, all right? And X is different for each of us. But at the same time, you know, the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. Help us to remember that every day is precious and to really slow down and enjoy life today in the middle of everything that's going on, to realize that, hey, joy is now. I'm supposed to rejoice always. That means joy can and should be in my day today, okay? And that's where we're going again with this message, choosing to enjoy your life. I've had several interruptions of the Holy Ghost that's just said, Ed, stop and enjoy this day. Look around, enjoy and see these opportunities that you can enjoy. If you don't have, you don't need resolution for this and that and the other to relax and to finally enjoy. No, in the middle of everything you're going through, you can enjoy life, all right? So we're going to go forward and take a look at the next point. So the next aspect of choosing to enjoy your life is the fact not only that joy is now, but that joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. As we talked about before, you know, it's not hope. It's not somewhere off in the future. It's not something that external things have to line up before I can experience joy. Joy is a choice that I have to make. So let's take a look at that in the Word of God. In the book of James, James admonishes and he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He won't rebuke you for asking. That's good to know. So here, you know, James is admonishing the brothers and sisters in Christ, hey, when trials, tests, troubles of any kind come your way, it's an opportunity for joy. Or the King James has counted all joy when you fall into these different situations. It's an interesting contrast, you know? This is when things are not going well. And yet he says, count it all joy. I'll tell you what, when you begin to realize that you can choose joy, it is so powerful in deflecting and overcoming fear in your life. Because there is something about being in joy that fear and joy just can't occupy that same place. And there's just something about that, and to see when you're going through something, this is an opportunity for joy. And there's something about that joy that's going to give me the staying power, and endurance is going to be worked in me. And I can ask God for wisdom. He's going to give it to me. I know that. So he's going to help me through this. Praise God. As I read this passage of scripture in James, it reminds me of a story that I had read about a guy named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a Jew in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. He lived in a flea-infested and diseased area. He was constantly badgered, harassed, beaten, and made to carry burdens. Viktor said that in this Nazi concentration camp, he could tell when a person was getting ready to give up and die. He could look into the eyes of those around him and see when their attitudes began to change. He could also see it in their posture as they walked, when hopelessness had taken over their life. Although physically they could have survived and lived longer, mentally they had broken down. Viktor said that he could tell when they were ready to lay down, stop eating, give up, and die. He said he could see it in their attitude. Viktor Frankl determined that there was one thing the Nazis could not control in his life. They could not control his attitude. He said, "The last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless of circumstances." In other words, he couldn't control everything, but he could control himself and his attitude. Wow, what a powerful testimony of somebody who lived through one of the most horrific environments in human history, a Nazi concentration camp. But he realized something, you know, that the Nazis would not be able to control in his life. And that was his attitude. In other words, he maintained really the ability to choose and to have hope and to have expectancy and to not get depressed. In the face of that oppression, he chose to not let it get in him. Like we saw and talked about the Apostle Paul, you know, a few weeks back, you know, he was in jail, but the jail was not in him. He was still preaching the gospel in his mind. It was to the furtherance of the gospel. His heart was going forth and going out. And that attitude is so much similar to what we're talking about when it comes to, you know, choosing to enjoy your life, regardless of what the circumstances are. You know, we've all gone through different trials of life and situations that James talks about. I've never been through anything like a concentration camp, or I can't compare my stuff with that. But I'll tell you what, there's inspiration in that to realize that, hey, man, I got a joy of the Lord. I can choose joy. I can choose to believe and see that God is in me. He's in my situation. He's working there. And if I lack wisdom, I can ask him. I can say, Lord, show me what to do about this. I need your help. You know, there's a great passage of scripture that we refer to quite a bit in Philippians chapter 4. And I want to take a look at this passage again, but I want to step back a little bit and take it from a little bit of a broader context. So let's take a look at this. So one of my favorite passages to preach from is probably Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But we're going to back up a few verses and start reading with Philippians 4, 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." You see that? Always. It's a lot like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 that we looked at in all those translations. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing is a now thing. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It sounds a whole lot like, you know, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we know that passage there in Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing. But it's interesting to back up a few verses and see that broader context. The broader context is to rejoice. Be full of the joy of the Lord. Let your gentleness be known to all men. If you have any anxiety, pray about it, you know, with thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you can stay in that place of joy and rejoicing. You can almost see in this broader context how the Apostle Paul is addressing anxiety so that we can rejoice in the Lord and we can enjoy our joy in the Lord, and things that come against that we can bring to the Lord in prayer. And I so love this passage of Scripture because, you know, in seeing it in this way, because as I've been challenged to go back to the joy of the Lord, I find that joy and fear can't both occupy my heart. When I choose joy, I'm choosing for fear to go, okay? And a lot of times, it's kind of like the paradigm we find out in Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul says, hey, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's just something about becoming Spirit-centric and Spirit-focused on the things of God that just can't share the same space with flesh. And so the Apostle Paul says, in trying to figure out how to win 18 flesh battles, just pursue the spiritual side of life. Pursue God, and you'll lose your appetite for fleshly things. That same paradigm kind of exists here as well, too, when it comes to anxiety and fear. There is something about a decision to rejoice, a decision for joy. When you walk in that joy, you know, you can't be, you know, entertaining all those voices of the fear and the depression and the bitterness and the self-pity and all that kind of stuff. They can't occupy the same place. Joy will crash their party every time. The joy of the Lord will just change the perspective to where God is bigger than all that. And you know he is, and he loves you, and he's with you. Praise God. It kind of reminds me of an old musical song that I'd like to read for you real quick. So growing up in the House family, we had a favorite musical we loved to watch called Singing in the Rain. And here's the title cut from the movie. And as you listen to it, you can kind of hear allegorically a little bit what both James and Paul are talking about in terms of counting it all joy and staying joyful during dark times. The song simply goes, I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart. Of course, that would be Jesus for us. And I'm ready to love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone else from the place. Come on with the rain. I have a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing and singing in the rain. And I think that, you know, kind of captures the essence of what both James and Paul are talking about. You don't have to have a sunshiny day in blue skies to have joy in your life. You don't have to have everything going right to experience the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is there during the darkest times. There can be a joy and a strength of the Lord and his peace, a decision to choose, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to rejoice always in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what's going on around me, no matter who's done what to me, they're not going to steal my joy in the Lord. They're not going to steal the joyful life that I have that Jesus came to give, and that I'd have it more abundantly. I'm going to have that. I'm going to keep that going on in my life. And I think it's such a powerful reminder, a powerful strengthening word that we can all remember that it's not just, you know, things needing to line up. Now, let me qualify something else too when I'm talking about, when I'm saying joy and choosing joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm not talking about a circumstantial happiness that everything's going well again and I'm happy because everything's going well or right. It's not about trying to stay up and in cheerful, you know, 24/7 or even passionate about God 24/7 and all that. It's great to feel good. It's great to be cheerful and excited and passionate and all those things. But this is not about trying to be up all the time in that sense. It's not an emotional hype thing that I'm talking about here at all as it relates to choosing joy for your life. In fact, it is a very calm intentioned decision that no matter what's going on around me, I'm going to be joyful in God. I'm going to be confidently trusting in Him. There will be a joy of the Lord that's in me. Joy is of the Spirit. Joy isn't a soulish thing that you work up in your head or your emotions. Joy comes from the Spirit. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. So it's coming from within you, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. You know how it is when you get revelation or you know something intuitively by the Spirit of God? You just know that you're a child of God by the Spirit of God. You get that witness. Or you hear truth. You hear the Word of God, and the witness of the Holy Spirit says, that's true. That's right. Amen. Well, this joy is a lot like that. It's a joy that is like the Holy Spirit saying, you know, I know God is with me. I know that He loves me. I know that He's for me. I know that theology. But there is a joyful amen of the Holy Spirit that rises up on the inside of you. And it is empowering. That joy is empowering. Do I know how it's going to work out? No, I don't. But I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord can stare down the worst case scenario and says, I don't care what happens. It's not going to change how I live my next day. I'm going to live my next day with the joy of the Lord. I'm going to live my next day living for God, trusting in Him. There is no hypothetical you can throw at the joy of the Lord that makes you have to go back in your head again and try to figure out how you're going to resolve that. The joy of the Lord is a strength of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord is when you know and you perceive, and there is a joy in the Holy Ghost that says, my God is with me. My God is for me. I'm choosing the joy of the Lord. If I've got questions, by all means, I'll let my request be made known unto God, but I'll let my request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And that's such a powerful truth there, because it's with thanksgiving I'm letting my requests known to God. In other words, there's a joyful notation in my prayer. There's a joyful notation in my supplication. I'm asking God for wisdom, and I am thanking God that He is faithful and that He will give me the wisdom that I need. I'm acknowledging God through faithfulness, of His faithfulness. I'm acknowledging God through thanksgiving. Now, that could take the form of worship. It could take the form of just thank you, Jesus, you know, however that looks. But there's a thanksgiving. And this thanksgiving, when you're praying about something, is not just a one-time event necessarily. You continually thank Him for that thing you're standing and believing for. There's a continuous thanksgiving. And as you're keeping in that place of faith and joy, there's a peace that passes your understanding that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that peace and that joy of the Lord works together with that peace that Jesus left with us. There's a peace that accompanies that joy, that works together with that joy. I think of that great passage in Isaiah, you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. There's just a tandem there of joy and peace. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, then peace. There's just a connection. There is a joy and peace connection. And you can kind of see that even in the Apostle Paul as he's writing about, you know, you're gonna ask God if you need something. You ask God, you're casting that care. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, rejoice always. And if you have cares, cast that care on the Lord and stay in joy. Cast that care on the Lord with thanksgiving. The peace will keep your heart and mind in Christ and you'll stay in joy. Praise God. But joy is a choice. That's something. Nothing's having to line up. I'm just having to pray, and I'm having to rejoice and thank God and let that peace of God rule and stay in that place of continuous joy. We're going to take a look at a good example of somebody who actually did this. Well, to set this story up a little bit, the Apostle Paul was in Philippi and he was ministering, and he got a girl who was possessed of a spirit delivered and set free. You'd think that would be a good thing. But as it turns out, she was being used with this spirit to help tell people's fortunes and was making money for people. So when Paul got her set free, that was good for her, but not for her owners. And so they immediately stirred up people against Paul as a result of that. And so we'll pick up here in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing in the rain. They were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself. We're all here." Wow. So here's a great example. I mean, you look at that backstory, basically stripped and beaten with wooden rods, severely beaten, because they got a girl delivered. Didn't really do anything wrong, but were wrongly, you know, hurt, and they were thrown in jail. I mean, think about this. This is a huge injustice here. The inner dungeon, clamping their feet in stocks. If you could imagine what that must have looked like, what that must have smelled like. And it's bad enough to be in this dark inner dungeon place, but then to have your feet clamped in stocks. You're not even, you can't even move around. You're in a kind of a solitary position because the jailer's life was at stake. So he wasn't going to take any chances. That's like the worst case scenario. And what does the Apostle Paul do? Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What a beautiful classic example of counting it all joy when you fall into situations. This is an injustice. This is wrong. And right in the middle of injustice, right in the middle of abusive, wrong treatment, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. This is what it means to choose joy. The Apostle Paul, he practiced what he preached. You know, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious for anything. Pray." So they were praying and they were singing hymns to God with thanksgiving, probably for what they were just praying about. But they're trusting God. They're choosing joy here. Okay? And we go through stuff. And what a great inspiration. Yeah, you could feel like you're in a dungeon. You could feel immobilized. And it might not smell well. But there is no time in your life. Joy is now. Joy is a choice. We're talking about choosing to enjoy life. You may be in a cell. You can still choose to pray and sing. You can choose to ask God for wisdom. And there's a joy of the Lord that will rise up in you. Will it answer all your questions? No. But there will be a peace that passes your understanding. And there's something about that joy that satisfies the human heart. You don't even need to know everything. You know, I love that passage in Psalm 23. "I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's something about the joy of the Lord. It's like you experience the presence of God with you when you experience the joy of the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about happy faces, smiley. I'm talking about choosing it. There's something about choosing joy, choosing to pray, choosing to sing, choosing to declare, "Lord, my hope is in you. No matter what, my trust is in you. My hope is in you." That stirs up the joy of the Lord. It's a spiritual thing. It stirs it up in your heart. These guys were full of the joy of the Lord, and the prisons were shaken. And, you know, Paul stopped that guy from killing himself, that jailer. Not only did he stop him from killing himself, He ended up getting his whole family saved. They all received Jesus. It became an occasion to share the gospel. This is such a powerful witness. When we're walking in this kind of joy, when we're walking in this kind of supernatural peace, praise God. And I just want to close this point by saying that when you begin to choose the joy of the Lord, when you begin to choose to rejoice always, just by faith to rejoice in the Lord, and put your hope in the Lord and trust in the Lord, and you tune in to the joy of the Lord, it causes you to tune out the other voices. I mean, there are voices. You know, the Bible says the law of sin and death in our members wars against the law of our mind. In other words, we've got forces of the flesh, the world, and the devil that war against our mind. And there are those voices of bitterness, the voices of self-pity and fear and depression and all those things. And sometimes you can kind of almost get on a treadmill of those things, not even realize you're in them. But there is something, like that song says, like that Morning to Dance song says, "It that love pierces my darkness." And joy has a piercing effect. When you rejoice in the Lord, it pierces darkness. And all of a sudden, as you begin to get stirred up in the joy of the Lord, you realize a lot of those voices, you know, what I'm calling voices are just, they're patterns of thought, just ways that you think, ways that you've integrated. You see something and it stirs off an old narrative and that old narrative and you're back in replay and that old thing. When joy begins to take a center stage and you begin to rejoice in the Lord, there is something that ignites your walk with the Lord that just stirs up you and Jesus and takes you back to places with you and him that is bigger than all the fear, self-pity, depression stuff. There is a joy of the Lord. It truly is your strength, but it truly allows you to see through that stuff. You know, where you give a strong suggestive thought, and it's like, oh, I got to think that. You realize, I don't have to think that. There's something about joy and tuning your ear to joy that gives you the ability to see through the junk. See through the stuff. Again, it's kind of like the old adage, walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Rejoice always, and anxiety won't run your life, because you're going to recognize anxiety. You're going to pray about it with thanksgiving and let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's something about rejoicing that shines a spotlight on the junk and realizes and exposes the fact you have no moral obligation to it. Joy is now. And you can choose joy now. Praise God. So, choosing to enjoy your life. Just a simple little kind of an exhortation type of a message this morning to just encourage you to remember that joy is now. Joy is a choice. It's not something that we've got to wait on. Joy is waiting on us. Joy is waiting on us to rejoice, to look to God. And I'll tell you, there's things that you can do to just stoke joy. You can turn on joy, and one of the great ways to do that is what Paul did in that Philippian jail. He began to sing praises to God. You pray, okay? There's real burdens. There's real spiritual pressure that we experience. But there's that praying is a real spiritual pressure release valve where I'm casting that care on the Lord because he cares for me. That's what prayer does. I'm asking God for wisdom, and he won't upbraid me. He won't be critical of my asking him for it. He'll give it to me. So I'm doing that. I'm praying it off. Okay, I'm praying that burden off of me and onto him. What am I going to do here? I don't know, Lord. I look to you. I need your help. So I'm praying. But then there's thanksgiving. There's a worship that rises up as you're beginning to choose to enjoy your life. I mean, just the power of worship, the power of just spending time worshiping God. There's an atmosphere from worship through which other stuff comes. There's revelation and direction and different things like that for your life. But boy, one of the great powerful ways to rejoice always is to just break and pierce that darkness, to sing in the rain, worship songs to the Lord, and to realize that you can enjoy your life now, no matter what season or situation that you're experiencing. So I'm going to go ahead and close this morning with an excerpt from one of my favorite worship songs. It's called Made Me Glad. But the words in this song capture to me the spirit of joy, the spirit of the joy of the Lord. It goes, I will bless the Lord forever, and I will trust him at all times. He has delivered me from all fear. He has set my feet upon a rock. I will not be moved. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is no one I desire besides you, for you have made me glad. And I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. What am I doing? I'm magnifying the Lord. There's something about magnifying who he is. No matter what I'm going through, I'm still in his hand. He still sees me, and I'm acknowledging that I'm in his hand, and that he is God, my salvation, my deliverer. Whom shall I fear? I'm counting it all joy because my God is God. If God be for me, who can be against me? He's with me. He's going to make me stand, remembering who he is, worshiping who he is, acknowledging that, letting the joy of the Lord, again, the joy of the Lord, it's spirit. It's nothing that I'm emotionally working up in my soul. It affects my soul. It touches my soul. And there's great feelings of gratitude and appreciation, but doesn't start in my soul. It starts in my spirit. It starts when I begin to acknowledge who he is. And again, the spirit bears witness with it, and it's true, and it stirs up joy in your heart. That's my heart for you this morning, to get stirred up, to choose to enjoy life no matter what you're going through. There's a God who forgives all your sins. There's nothing holding you back there. And I'll tell you what, when your life begins to be, if your life is about you, if you're center stage, this is not a selfish message. When you're talking about choosing to enjoy your life, this isn't, I mean, my selfish, I want, I need, not at all. There's a circumstantial happiness, like we said, that's very hard to maintain. We all have a drama queen on the inside of us that gets upset and you need everything just right and Nah. This isn't about that. Choosing to enjoy your life means bypassing all that happiness stuff that has to be just perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. I've got joy because I've got the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And I've got that joy in me, down in my heart to stay. And so as we look at that this morning, we realize, man, I've got someone living on the inside of me. The joy of my life is following after my God, who had me born again, put his spirit on the inside of me, made me his very own workmanship, and fashioned me for things to do. So I am going to go out with joy. I'm going to be led forth with peace, and I'm going to serve my God. It's one of the most selfless things you can do, is when you can choose joy for your life, because it does get your eyes off you in your circumstance, and it puts it on the bigness of God and who he is in your life. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for this word. And I just pray, Lord, that you take this word and break the bread of this word and show each of us through that second sermon of the Holy Spirit, who talks about what I'm talking about, and just make it real to each of our hearts this morning. Show us those situations, those circumstances that we can begin to just ask God for wisdom with thanksgiving and begin to rejoice by faith in the Lord and just let that joy of the Lord stir up each one of us, that we see how big you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us. Lord, that we would be refreshed and experience the joy of the Lord again this morning. We thank you so much for this precious day. And just thank you, Lord, for just touching each of your people. I just pray along with the Apostle Paul that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them with might by your Spirit, according to your glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, Father God, that there would be a joy, a strength of your joy in their hearts. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that word this morning. Again, just a more of an admonition, an exhortation to get stirred up and realize joy is now. Joy is a choice. And you can choose to enjoy that life that God has given you today. Praise God. So we pray you're blessed this week. Enjoy your week and enjoy your life in the Lord, and know that he's with you and that joy is there for you always. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.